There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Those were the first words out of his mouth. It was a small accident. He went off the road and he hit a tree, though the car was totaled. EMS arrived as soon as someone had called in, and they removed him from the car. The airbags had gone off. He was bleeding, and it already looked like bruises were appearing. The EMTs, of course, wanted to take him on to the hospital. He sat in the back of the ambulance, and he said it over and again, "There's nothing wrong with me. Call my wife. She'll pick me up. Call the wrecker. They'll take the car. I'm not going to the hospital." Well, they argued with him, but to no avail. His wife arrived, and he started the same story. "There's nothing wrong with me. If I need to tomorrow, I'll see my doctor." They went home. He went to bed, and he never woke up. He died from internal bleeding. There's nothing wrong with me. Physically, probably most of us have said that, but I wonder spiritually how many times we've said that as well. "Oh God, there's nothing really wrong with me." To our family, "There's nothing wrong with me," compared to others. To ourselves, "There's nothing really wrong spiritually with me." I submit spiritually that phrase, "There's nothing wrong with me," is incompatible with our faith walk. Totally incompatible. As a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't our words be, "There's everything wrong with me"? To God, "Oh God, you know me. There's everything wrong with me." To our family, "You know there's everything wrong." And to ourselves, "There's everything wrong with me." But in Christ Jesus, it's all made right. The attitude of Lent, nothing is wrong, or everything is wrong. There's no middle ground. Our text that Hall and Becca read from Luke's gospel, I believe, gives us a picture of what Lent isn't and what Lent is. Jesus spoke this. Luke recorded it. It's a parable. In verse 9 of chapter 18, do you notice who Jesus spoke this to? "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else," Jesus told this story. Jesus is talking to us, to church people, if you would. You heard the story, two men. One, a very self-righteous Pharisee, a religious man. The other, a cheating, sinful tax collector. Both go to the church. Both go to the church to pray. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber, an evildoer, an adulterer. I'm not even like him, the tax collector. No, I fast twice a week, and I give a tithe of all I get." There's nothing wrong with me. And that seems like a pretty fair assessment. He was a good citizen, it seems, one that obeyed the law, who in his ethic and moral was upright. He was a religious man. fasted, not once, but twice every week. He was way up there, and he gave not just an offering, but he gave a tithe of all that he had. Nothing's wrong with him, it seems. But the tax collector, verse 13, stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Everything is wrong with me. You know his type. You know his type. They probably live on your street. They're the ones who throw trash in your yard. They steal from others. They ruin other lives in order that they might really live it up. Look at them. Their life's a disaster. He stood at the back of the church, wouldn't even walk to the altar, couldn't look upwards to God, but looked down, and his only prayer was, "God, have mercy." Everything was wrong with him. And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man," the one that everything was wrong with, this man, rather than the one who nothing was wrong with, this man went home justified before God. "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Tax collector was humble, it seems, and repentant, and seemingly exalted by Jesus. So in other words, you are given forgiveness by God based on your humility. So follow, the more humble you are, the more forgiveness is yours, and your level of forgiveness is based on your level of humility. Was that the message? Was Jesus saying your forgiveness, your justification, your exaltation, it's all dependent upon you? I think many believe this. So many around us, it's all about us. If you would, this is a humble righteousness. Maybe worse than the Pharisee. It's a humble Pharisee. "Look at me, oh God, I'm so humble. God, you know I don't have it, but God, I'm so humble. Look at really, God, how righteous I am, because in my righteousness I say I am humble. Oh God, look at the ashes on my forehead. See, I'm humble. They're nice. I'm humble. Oh God, look at the crosses in my yard. Jesus is Lord. I have three of them. Look how humble. Look, oh God, at me." I don't think that's what Jesus meant. Rather, neither the Pharisee nor the tax collector deserved God's forgiveness. The Pharisee was conceited, self-righteous, holier than thou. He didn't deserve God's forgiveness. And the tax collector is a lying, cheating, terrible man. He was humble, but he was still a lying, cheating, terrible man. And that's the wonder of God. That's the beauty, the majesty, and the awe of God, that God offers forgiveness to all, totally based on his grace and his mercy. God grants unmerited mercy, undeserved grace. We cannot earn his forgiveness. It is unearnable. And that's why forgiveness is so precious. It all goes back to the cross. Forgiveness comes through the atoning, redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. We put the cross before us during this Lenten season, and we look at it and we're reminded, oh, the power of the cross. The Pharisee and the tax collector were both offered forgiveness. Christ's death on the cross would ultimately bring forgiveness to all. But only the tax collector received it because his attitude. Everything is wrong with me, he said. The humble tax collector is the picture of Lent. The Pharisees, the opposites. Lent is an attitude. This season is an attitude of honesty as we approach and look forward to Resurrection Sunday. We must first deal with an attitude of honesty in our sin. Lent is an attitude of humility before God and maybe before each other. The Lenten season is a time of confession and of repentance. Lent is an attitude that says, everything, oh God, everything is wrong with me. And as we announce that, and as we know that, and as we begin to live that, there's a wonderful sense of forgiveness that becomes ours. And with that attitude of honesty and humility and confession comes also an attitude of relief and joy and victory that God grants forgiveness, not because of me, but because of thee, because of the cross. Lenten season is a time to get real. And in the next 3 weeks, I want to preach about getting real. Jesus' words in Mark chapter 14. During the Lenten season, we can get real with God. We can get real with ourselves. We can get real with friends and enemies alike. What a journey we embark on. The Lenten journey is not an easy journey. It's not a relaxing, easy walk. The Lenten journey is intense as we deal with our humanity, as we deal with our sin, as we deal with the cross. But it's a needed journey indeed. We had a beautiful service Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday, a crowd about like this. Several expressed that it was as meaningful to them as Christmas Eve. As we humbly began this journey. And I concluded Ash Wednesday by this reading, and I want you to hear it again. Perhaps during the Lenten season, we should stop praying for others as if we were virtuous enough to do so. Perhaps we should take off our self-righteous robes just long enough during these 40 days to put ashes on our own heads, to come before God with a new humility that is willing to confess, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe we should be willing to prostrate ourselves before God and plead, Lord, in my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That might put us in a position to hear God in ways that we have not heard Him in a long time. It may be the beginning of a healing for which we have so longed. Oh Lord, begin with me. Begin here. Begin now. I wonder, what is your attitude this day and this season? Is your attitude, nothing's wrong with me, nothing's, or is it everything, oh God, be merciful to me, I need thee. We're going to sing that. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. That's what Lent's about. Proclaiming in humility our needness, that we need the cross. We need the atoning, redeeming, forgiving power of the cross, the blood of Calvary that washes white as snow. I need thee. Can that be your prayer? In these weeks ahead, leading up to that glorious resurrection, oh God, I need thee. I confess, I repent, have mercy on me. Oh God, this morning we prayerfully come and we, if we're honest, we know we can't say, nothing's wrong with me, everything is wrong. You know it. Our family really knows it. And we know it. Oh God, we need you. Hear our prayers of confession. Do a work in us this Lenten season. Remove our self-righteousness and let us cling to the cross. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.